jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 6 Super Coach Coach Podcast. I'm joined this week by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone. I'm a bit upset to be here today, Marcus. You're taking me away from my team. I just want to stare at it for a couple more hours and see if I can work out a solution to all the stuff that's been going on this week with so many suspensions and injuries.
Yeah, it's certainly a big round of headaches. And to be honest, with the amount of carnage that's going on, I'm not sure we can give much, you know, direct advice for people out there. We can give only general advice because different people have all sorts of different problems and situations to contend with.
Especially with multi-position trades, like it just gives you so many variables into every team that it definitely becomes a bit difficult to actually work out the best thing to do.
To be honest, Mark, we probably should be looking a little bit to the buys as well. So that's also another consideration that each individual has to make when bringing players into their team.
Yeah, this is the time when good coaches get tested and some of the luck gets taken out of the game because it's a difficult decision-making week for a lot of coaches out there.
So, Mark, how'd your ranking go this week?
Jumped up a couple of thousand spots, mate, to 3260, which is still in with a shot, I guess. It's competitive. It's pretty high up there. I think you did a little bit better than me, though.
Yeah, I'm in 617. Why didn't you talk us through some of the headaches that everybody's experiencing this week?
Oh dear, there's injuries and suspensions. Tex Walker and Rioli would be in a lot of teams. I know a good friend Hondo has both of those guys. Gibbs out, who knows how long for. Pittard injured. Goods suspended for 2 weeks. What a time to do that. The week that Gibbs goes down. And Fife also 2 weeks. He challenged and like he looked at the guy and kicked him and then tried to challenge and say that it was not intentional.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating because if he misses one game, like that's okay, keep him, put a crappy rookie on the ground. But now it's a difficult spot and he'd been doing quite well for our teams. We'll go through, we normally do, we look at trade out targets and then trade in targets. Start off with the easy one, Tex Walker, obviously a trade out.
Yep, and so too Cyril Rioli, he'll only be back after the bye.
That's so upsetting because he was looking really, really good. So, and both of those guys were in patches in those games. So very upsetting to see those guys get injured. What about Bryce Gibbs? Now, he sort of got subbed off at halftime. They said it was a minor hamstring. What does that mean? And have we seen this in the past? And how long do you reckon he'll be out for?
I'm reading around the place that it's looking like a couple. So I'm just going to take that at face value with the expectation that Carlton don't really have the luxury to rest their premiums for longer than necessary. Hoping he'll be out for a minimum period of time, and I think he's a keep because he's a bona fide top six defender, and you'd loathe to trade him out.
Carlton do have a great draw coming up as well. So they got Melbourne this week, so it's a big shame we miss out on his score versus Melbourne. They got the Saints the week after, and that's a little bit of a danger game for Carlton, I think. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him back for that one. I definitely hope it's only 1 week, especially if people are keeping goods as well. So next player is Jasper Pittard. Now, was taken out with general soreness, apparently, in the last game, but then they found out that he had a hip flexor strain. They've done scans, found out it was a little bit worse than they thought. They've said he almost certainly won't play this week, and listening to Hinckley talk about it, sounded like it might be more than just this week as well. It might be a couple of weeks, especially given Pittard's injury history. So would you be trading him out? He's only sort of risen to 230,000.
Again, you know, depends on your team, but I think my gut reaction is to say no. He's only priced at 235, and I would have thought that Pittard'd be at least a 350k type rookie. Even I thought if he had a good game at the right time, he could even push up all the way up to, you know, 380, 400k. He's just got a decent sized body now, and he plays a lucrative role off halfback. So I think wait till he gets back in the team and seek to extract another 100k at least out of him. But if you're looking at a backline donut and your other options are more attractive to keep than Pittard, then you might be forced to trade him, which is unfortunate. I know a lot of coaches are actually looking at that this week.
Yeah, definitely hasn't earned enough money, but then again, he played one game last year and 13 the year before that, so hasn't really managed to stay on the park in the past either, so not a huge surprise that he'd get injured before he got to his full value. The fact that he's the coach is not clear when he'll be back, and they've said that they're really going to wait for his body to get right, it does worry me, and I agree with you that it depends who you keep. What if you keep Gibbs and Pittard, and Gibbs misses two, Pittard misses two, and then one of your other rookies gets injured next week? It puts you in a really difficult spot. So definitely a lot of tricky decisions up back, and I think that most teams will be trading at least one of Gibbs, Pittard, or Goods, because pretty much every team has those three. You get a donut if you don't trade one. What do you think about Goods? Do you think he's a keeper or a trade?
Yeah, it's a really tough one, Mark. I think a big thing to actually consider with Goodsy is that he actually has around 11 buy. So that has me more inclined to say trade. If he had around 12 or 13 buy, it would have been quite attractive to hold him and trade around the buys. But because you can't manipulate him like that, and he's already at 330K, I think he's obviously extracted more value, out of the games he's played. So I'd be inclined to trade Goodsy out ahead of Pittard, despite understanding that Goodsy has a much stronger scoring capability. I mean, he has this score of 49 affecting two price movements now, and he's going to be suspended for two games. So the first price change that he's going to have that's not affected by this 49 actually comes in round 12. So his price will be stalled for a fairly significant period of time, Mark.
Yeah, just showing just how complex it is to make these decisions this week, I'd go the other way, mate. I'm probably looking at trading Pittard out, and I guess my main reason for that is that I see Goods as a potential keeper and someone that I was looking to hold in my side till probably the last person that I'm upgrading. He does have two lower scores in his last three games. He has a 67 and an 85 in those two games. Also posted a couple of hundreds. I mean, he's averaging 96. He could definitely post that for the rest of the season. So I think that I'm not confident that Pittard's going to get back. I'm not confident that Pittard's going to be fit and firing when he gets back. He's coming into a tougher part of Port's draw. So I'd probably be looking to get rid of him before the buys anyway. So it's really disappointing that I'd be trading Pittard first than Goods. But I think that I know Goods is going to come back fit and firing and that he'll probably play out the season, I think. So I'm leaning towards trading Pittard out even for the less money, unfortunately. Player that you don't have, player that I do have, is in 20% of the top 1,000 teams, and that is Nathan Fyfe. He has looked really good so far this year. Hasn't posted a massive score every week, but then I know that he's got the potential to post 150s, 160s, and he hasn't come out with that game yet, and I know that that's probably coming soon. So is he a trade or keep? And I appreciate some advice here, mate.
I think, especially with the Gibbs situation, that's a really tough spot you're in. I think if only one of the two were injured or missing this week, I'd say, keep one of them. But with two, that's a lot of money sitting on your pine, Mark. Surely you must be tempted to move at least one of them on.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I'm sort of leaning towards Fife in this instance. I just think Carlton's draw does open up a little bit more, and Gibbs is probably less likely to cop a tag than Fife. And even though Fife has been scoring better so far this year, I guess the fact that Gibbs is a defender and it's hard to get a high scoring defender leans me towards keeping him, and the fact that Gibbs might only be 1 week. I think if they're both 2 weeks, it'd be a closer decision. So yeah, I'm definitely strongly considering trading Fife this week. I mean, even if I did a sideways trade to, for instance, Scott Selwood, the difference between Selwood and a rookie over the next 2 weeks might be 60 points each week, 120 points. And with 30 trades, that's sort of like not the worst result for getting for trading a player out. So yeah, definitely strongly considering trading Fife this week. A little bit depends on selections because I'd have Brown in my back line and Heath, and it depends sort of who gets up and whether I'm going to have any donuts or not.
Now, to the actual trade-in targets, Mark, maybe a bit of sunshine to brighten up your day. Who are the guys that you're actually excited about bringing into your team this week?
Jeez, it's a bit cloudy here as well, mate. I don't think it's all sunshine. With the rookies at this stage of the year, sort of most of the best rookies have already played, so it's a little bit tricky. The big battle of the week, obviously, because we have spoken a lot about defense already and Pittard and Goods and co. So the most likely rookies you're going to be bringing in are the defensive ones. You could go a week early on Bastuin. Whether he gets selected this week with Morris coming back is a little bit debatable. He didn't score very highly in his first game, so I think you'd really want to see a second game out of him before you moved on him if possible. So the two main targets are Doherty from the Lions and Rory Laird from the Crows. What's your take on which one you'd prefer at this early stage?
Obviously, Doherty's had the one sub-affected game, so he had that 22, but he did score rather well in his first game. He scored
He did.
86 when he wasn't affected by the sub, so you've got to think that there's some scoring potential there. We know that as a junior that he could rack up the possessions, so in terms of scoring potential, he does seem higher than Laird, but Laird has around 13 buy, which particularly appeals to me, Markham, especially in the back line, struggling to have premium defenders in round 11 and 12 there. So
Do you want to just explain the basic reason for picking a round 13 by player rookie to the listeners?
Basically, the idea of picking around 13 rookie is that you want to side swap Laird, hopefully, to around 11 or around 12 premium so that you can avoid the donut, bypassing his donut and moving to a player that's already been through the bye. So that's what you're sort of looking at. Doherty, you could do that if you're looking to bring in around 11. But it's particularly important, Mark, when you're looking at bringing in rookies at this point of the season, is that round 11's a danger round for a lot of people because you're bringing a lot of premiums in after rounds 11 and 12 to side swap around the bye. It's that sort of buy planning that you've got to start looking at, Mark, and it's actually rather complicated and probably best done in an Excel spreadsheet for those nerds that are looking to really get into it, because it's rather tricky and different teams will have different buy structures, but a rookie could literally pick itself based on its buy, which is a huge reason for actually doing that research.
For sure. We should, while we're talking about the buys, give a shout out to Jibba, who wrote an excellent article on the round 12 buy problem on the site this week. And I definitely recommend that listeners go check that out. It'll give them a little bit of help about what the sort of things to think about around the buys. So Doherty versus Laird for me, I think I'm going to go with Laird because he's slightly older, scoring well in the SA NFL, and he brings tackling pressure to the Crows side, which I think he's had five and six tackles or so in his first couple of games, and that's what they're looking for, I think, with their team. They are struggling a little bit. They're struggling with their defensive pressure, and Laird does bring that to the team. So he was also sub on the weekend, and luckily was the beneficiary of Walker going off, and so he had a big second quarter when he came on and scored about 40 of his points in that quarter. I agree that Doherty probably has a higher ceiling, but I just don't trust Vossi. Not that I think Laird has great job security either, but I think that Vossi just looks like he might give him the sub a lot, rest him a bit, and that I find that a bit concerning. But if he's named on the ground this week, then Doherty looks like a decent pick. Neither of them I have huge confidence in, but Laird gets my vote in the short term. The best rookie of the week probably is actually a ruckman, and it's very difficult to be trading in the rucks. The only probably option people would be thinking about would be Gorn. He's actually looked really well. His scoring's been really good. He's taken marks at both ends of the ground. He can do a little bit of ruck work. Mitch Clark's out for another at least 6 weeks, so you know that Gorn's going to play through to all the buyers, and he might actually be able to make teams a little bit of money. You know, he's not actually an option for my team, but do you think Blitz up to Gorn, get you about 100K, is a decent trade this week?
Yeah, I guess most people probably won't be in the situation to pull such a trade, but if you could, you certainly look at it. But you could actually also get to Gorn if you have one of Rowe, Sinclair. If you have one of Rowe or Sinclair, you can swap Need and use the DPP trade to swing Rowe or Sinclair into your forward line and trade Need or Dwyer to Gorn that way. So that is an option and something that I personally was considering. I think he probably looks like the rookie that's the safest bet this week, which is odd to find in the ruck.
Absolutely, and Dwyer to Gorn makes you about 150,000. So that's actually a pretty decent trade. Now the mid forward options. I was quite excited about Sam Kerridge going into the weekend, and then as we discussed on the Round Review podcast, I think he had three touches, and Paparone didn't touch the ball in two out of four quarters that he played. So neither of these guys are looking like sensational picks. If you had to pick one, who would you take?
Probably Paparone. I'm a bit worried about Kerridge. I think they might seek to replace one Taylor Walker with maybe two different forward options, so he might get squeezed out even, so who knows?
Yep, I'd probably agree with you there. It's a bit of a line ball. Carriage has been around a little bit longer, which might give him some sort of edge, but Pepperone is a bit of a goal kicker, and Brisbane definitely needs some avenues to goal. Now, last one we're going to talk about is Stringer from the Doggies. He had a good game on the weekend, kicked three goals, but he's like 180,000. Is that someone that you consider bringing in?
Probably not a guy that's playing in the forward line. If he's playing in the midfield, you'd probably consider it, but he plays half forward. I think he doesn't quite have the tank to play midfield. You've got to love his body and his attack on the football, but I don't think he's got quite the scoring potential playing for Western Bulldogs in that particular position.
Okay, so let's move on to some of the premiums that we should be considering now. A lot of people will be to bring defensive premiums in this week. What do you think of Hartlett, Shaw, or Scotland? Which one would you take?
Shaw's dropped a little bit in price, hasn't he, Mark?
He's about 480, I think, now, mate. And he had 130 on Thursday against the Bombers.
Yeah, so I think he's officially bottomed out this week, so a lot of people
Yep.
would be looking at him this week. both are set to rise. I'd probably go Hartlett, even despite the injury history. That sounds really risky, Mark, but I think I'm getting seduced by his midfield form. And beyond that, I'm getting seduced by Port Adelaide. They beat West Coast and the romance is on.
He scored 60 in the last quarter, very much helped win them the game. So whether he can do that every week is probably a little bit concerning, but he's averaging about 110 and he had a 38 because he had a back injury during a game. So to be averaging so much as a defender is a ridiculous start to the year. No love for Scotland?
No, I think it's a worry that he's back with Mick Malthouse
It concerns me a bit too, man.
and his age. So I just haven't looked at. I've just ignored him as a selection all year, and he'll have to actually prove his form before I actually think about bringing him in. But a definite no until that point.
I really like Hartlett. I think that he's probably got the highest upside. I'm not so down on Scotland as you are. I think that the Blues are just about to run into a pretty nice patch of their schedule, and Scotland could average a lot over that period. So, yeah, I think that Scotland's probably a pretty decent pick, and any of those guys are pretty decent picks, depending on your cash or your buy situation as well. Now, midfield target. I'll do it in two brackets. This week, Jobe or Swan? Both have low break evens.
Mark, I'm going through this exact problem this week, and I'm finding it hard to lay my finger down on it. But at the moment, I'm actually leaning towards Swan, Mark, because of last night's article. Is that a bit silly? As an Essendon supporter, maybe I need your view because you support them, so I need at least the positive version of the news. What do you think's going to happen with Jobe? Surely no players get suspended, right? I'm not just going to bring in a player that's going to get suspended by the ASADA.
I just think it's too difficult to speculate, to be honest. We don't have enough information. There's no precedence of this. We don't actually know exactly what's happened yet. There's still a lot of conjecture, even though more information has come out. And so I think it's almost too difficult to speculate. And obviously, I'm hoping that nothing happens. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot of help for you there, mate, just because we haven't seen anything like this ever happen before, where apparently a bunch of people have taken drugs without knowing about it. So we just don't know what's going to happen. I know there was a party that we went to a few weeks ago that happened, but
I probably see Watson as more likely to cop a poor game and then fall in price than Swan and Singers. They're so similar. If you can achieve Swan, then I'd probably say go Swanee over Watson.
30,000 more. Jobe is very cheap this week, and I can definitely understand why a lot of people would be bringing him in, especially the week before we played GWS. Can definitely understand that. I'd probably take Swanee if I had the cash, but then again, it's always about saving that extra 30 or 40, 40,000 to your next trade as well. So the other midfield ones I want to talk about are Selwood versus Josh Kennedy. Now, both of these guys are around the 600,000 mark and have reasonably high break evens, so might be a bit cheaper next week. Which one would you take?
Both have the round 12 bye, which is good to note. The thing that impressed me about Selwood is that this year he seems to have lifted in his contested marks and his goal kicking. He's kicked a goal, I think, in each one of the games. The one knock that I always had on him in being able to turn himself into a Pendlebury Ablett type scorer was his lack of impact on the scoreboard. So he seduced me a bit with his first few rounds. And we do have Port Adelaide, which aren't that weak anymore, but Gold Coast and GWS in rounds 10 and 11. So if you want to catch Geelong players before they knock off the expansion sides, we sure as hell don't see them twice. So yeah, we play them just before the bye.
We do play GWS twice this year. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to actually see them live for the first time this week since I was in Darwin before they even entered the AFL, back when they were playing in the NEFL up there. That'll be exciting. I think I'll go the other way with JPK versus Selwood, mate. When's Selwood going to get injured? Probably miss
Yeah,
invested for one of those expansion games.
that's a
Yep.
good point.
JPK hasn't missed a game in God knows how long. I think since he got into the Hawthorn side 2 or 3 years ago. And I know that his last two scores haven't been sensational, but even not getting great scores, he still looked really dangerous doing so. And he just has a great game for Supercoach with his ability to win contested ball, take contested marks, kick goals. I'll be looking at JPK next week, I think, and he should be under 600,000. So
Yeah.
you get a nice little discount on him, and I don't think he's going to get any cheaper than that.
Yeah, he'll be very cheap, but also tough opposition. So all the best here, Mark. I'll be riding high on Selwood, but you got to combat Hawthorn, Freo, Collingwood, Essendon, Adelaide if you're picking up next week. So
Yeah, they sound easy. Stevie Johnson, is he someone that we should be targeting this week before his price goes up with the 160 rolling through?
I definitely think so. You won't get a chance to get him cheap again because Like I mentioned before, we play Gold Coast and GWS before the bye. So if you want to jump on him, I think this is probably the round.
And yeah, I agree with that, mate. I'm actually considering a Fife to Stevie J trade. Potentially, just that puts Dwyer to the bench to me, which is pretty nice. Now, Buddy. Should we be bringing Buddy in this week?
I would rather bring in Steve Johnson, but if not, yeah, you could should certainly be looking at bringing him in. But I think his break even's still rather high, 164. He's got a couple more weeks with that 57 in his price movement, so I think he's set to drop another about 50, 60K.
You still think that everyone's going to need him. So if you had a Rioli or a Walker go down and you've got a fully premium forward line, then you might still bring him in even at the higher price. Even though he was bloody shocking on the weekend. So frustrating. Now, a player that when I tried to add him to the run sheet, you laughed at me, Marcus. Jason Windelich. Do you want to tell me why you were laughing?
I guess before I actually sat down and you actually explained a little bit more about why you wanted him in your team, I just laughed first up because he's an Essendon player, so of course you want to bring him in. Yeah, he's just super injury prone, and we haven't seen his best in a really long time. And he played his best football in the midfield, and that was quite a long time ago under Matthew Knights'
Matthew
reign.
Knights, mate. He's down at Geelong these days. I thought you might know his name.
A while ago now, and back then, you know, Watson wasn't prominent. Windelich was close to your best midfielder at that point, and I think he only managed to average still 95 or 99 in that year. I just don't think that he can do that well off a limited preseason, and the fact that he's injury prone, like, you know, you talk about being not too surprised that Pittard got injured before, you know, he peaked. The exact same thing for Winder, except like he might not make it through this week's game.
A little bit like Dempsey last year, that people traded him in, and yeah, he was injury prone, and then he got injured straight away. I think my main concern with Windelich is that he'll be, if he doesn't get injured, that he'll be given the sub vest at some stage. He was a sub in his first game back, and then on Anzac Day, we saw David Myers a sub against the Pies, and David Myers has been in great form all year. It was just he was made sub, I think, because he could come on, he could make an impact. And Essendon don't have many injuries, so we can afford to do that with a really good player. And it wouldn't surprise me if we did that with a player just like Windelich once he hits form. So that could impact his ability to make money in the short term. And that's probably my biggest concern, along with the injury upside. A few weeks ago in the reserves, he kicked 8 goals. That's right, 8 goals as like a forward pocket half forward. And then kicked like 3 the week after. Last year, he played against Adelaide, and before he got injured, he had 3 or 4. He kicked 3 again against Collingwood on Anzac Day. Only had 19 or so possessions, but there's no reason why he couldn't equal the output of, say, Monfries is doing at Port Adelaide. So he's got skills, he's got pace, he's got a ball-winning ability. Essendon are a much, much better team than when he averaged 95 back in 2009. So they might get a bigger share of the points. They have GWS this week. If he scores over 100 this week, then it doesn't really matter what happens. His price is going to go up a fair bit. Plenty of good reasons to bring him in. He's on my consideration list, not someone that will definitely be in my team by the weekend. Now, Andrew Walker from the Blues. Is he the real deal? Averaging 115 so far, and he hasn't even gotten to the good part of his draw yet.
Yeah, well, I don't know, Mark. We talked about it last week and I dismissed him again. So I'm not sure. Should I be reassessing? Maybe you should give me your view because I might just be of the wrong mindset with Walker. Maybe he has turned the corner.
Yeah, I think with him, maybe injury is the biggest concern as well. And he has become so good that they will put someone on him at some point. But then against the weaker opposition, he should still be able to get decent scores. And maybe he's taken over the rebounding Scotland, Yaron sort of roles for Carlton. Mickey Malthouse loves the ball in his hands. And I think the comparison has been made to what Mick did with Leon Davis when he went back and had a massive year and put in some massive games playing off half back. So wouldn't completely surprise me if he went on to average at least 105 from here. I mean, this guy was a number 2 draft pick. He's not an average player. So, yeah, I think we should be taking him seriously, and he hasn't reached max price yet. So if you're looking for a bit of a different option, and the Blues do have a really, really nice run coming up, as we mentioned, so he's not a crazy pick in my eyes. All right, let's get into some listener questions. You ready for this?
Yep, let's do this.
Is Windelich a genuine trade for Sam Dwyer? This is basically a side swap.
No, for me, I'd only really bring in Winder for a downgrade from a premium injury like Rioli. But that's me, Mark.
I don't think it's stupid at all, and I think that a lot of coaches will actually do that this week. If Windley can get to 400 plus thousand, then I think it'll be a win. That's if Dwyer's dropped. In 2 weeks, does bringing in Buddy Pryttis and eventually Dale Thomas become a priority?
Yes, it certainly does, and I'm already planning to double downgrade next week so that I can facilitate the double upgrade the week after. So I certainly think that people should be looking toward those super attractive upgrade targets and plan ahead for those players. Dale Thomas will become a priority, I think, but I think I'm not too sure exactly when that's going to happen or even if he'll turn it on to the extent where we can expect 95 plus average from him. But you'd think that at some point, once he shows some form, that most people would be looking to bring him in, Mark.
Yeah, I think he'd ultimately end up as your F7, M9 sort of player, switching between mids and forwards and covering whoever is out later in the season. And I think with 30 trades, we might be in a position where we can end up with a Dale Thomas that didn't have a perfect preseason, filling that role and being okay with that. So definitely something I'm thinking about. But yeah, you want to see a little bit out of him first. Next question from Brendan: Hibbard, Heppel, or Shaw?
I'd go Shaw at 480k out of those options, Mark.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And Hibbert and Heppel are probably a flip of the coin. Heppel's got better durability, so I'd probably take him. Is it time to upgrade Maloney, as I have a bunch of cash in the bank? Now, Paul asked this question, and Paul, I'm very jealous of this question, mate. If that's the biggest priority you got in your team, then good bloody luck to you. What do you reckon?
Brisbane have around 11 by Mark. So he's a player that you're going to want to upgrade as soon as possible because there's no advantage of side swapping him around the buy. So, yeah, as soon as you can, turn Maloney into an ultra premium because Maloney's not going to average you 115 for the year, certainly not.
No, but he did have a big one on the weekend, a really big score. So you might want to take the price rises out of that. I'm not quite sure what his break even is. So
66.
you'd want to be thinking about that going forward. You'd want to keep him at least one more week, I think, personally. Next question is players like Mumfries. Port's high scoring run ended, and should we be getting rid of a player like that?
It really depends on what problems you have in your team. I think, Mark, you were saying that you were looking at one of the different competitions, and before the injury news hit, that you were actually looking at trading out Monfries for a midfield premium, ultra premium. But then once the injuries hit, that it appears to be, a luxury. So,
Priorities change,
yeah.
yeah.
So I think, it really depends. I think Monfries is certainly looking like somebody I want to trade out because I brought him in to be, the first possible upgrade that you can get, and because of how it quickly increased in price. So from that point of view, I definitely want to move him on. But then again, if you have all these other problems going on, and his lowest two scores are 82 and 91, and Port Adelaide are actually playing some decent football, then there's no reason to move him on, and you could even look to keep him for as long as you need it until he actually started, putting in a poor game and dropping in price.
Last week, I should have done Dangerfield to Swan. I think it was a pretty easy move, and I was talking about it, and I didn't follow through. So at the end of this weekend, again, I'm like, damn, I just wish I didn't have Dangerfield. I just want to trade him out. And Adam asks a question that I guess I've thought about. I want to trade out Dangerfield. However, with five out for 2 weeks, should I hold, trade one, or trade both?
Wow, you guys must really not be enjoying Dangerfield to want to trade him out with five out. That seems crazy to
Yeah,
me. You know,
I can't. Yeah.
I haven't enjoyed the fact that he's dropped, what, 90,000 in price. But apart from the really poor game against Hocking, he hasn't been absolutely awful considering one Adelaide have been, significantly down and he hasn't been able to break the tag yet. But you'd assume that at some point he's going to break the tag, and when Dangerfield does, he's not the type to just score 130 points. He'll probably go out and kill a 170. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I reckon there's a bit of truth to the rumors that he might be carrying a bit of a niggle, and I think that's holding him back, and he just doesn't seem to be around the ball as much as you'd be hoping for.
The other thing is, even if you don't want to keep him for the whole year, which like I accept increasingly likely that he's not going to be, the super scorer that he was last year. But even still, with a player of so much upside, like if you want to trade out Dangerfield, my advice is wait either until he has a really big game and goes up in price, because you just need him to get 180 in his price movements 3 times, and then you'll be rueing the fact that, a few rounds ago you traded him out for way less cash. Or you wait for a guy like Pryttis, who has a 2 in his price movement that's going to be way undervalued unnecessarily, and then, bank 100k from Dangerfield down to Pryttis. But in terms of, looking to do Dangerfield and forcing it to another premium, especially if you're at 5 out, definitely not for me.
Okay, quick answer to this question. Should we be considering the buys already?
Yes.
Agreed. James asks, have I missed the boat on Mays? Looks like a gun who should still have significant price rises to come.
Yeah, well, when we were looking at Stringer, Mark, I was like, well, who'd you even rather bring in at this stage? Stringer at
Wenderlich.
180 or Mays at 220?
Did you say Wenderlich?
Yeah, so I think if you're going to spend 220, then I'll have to concede there, Mark. Wenderlich's a better option at that price.
Mays looked fantastic on the weekend. Brisbane played Melbourne. All right, man, it's a really tricky week that we've got confronting us. I've been staring at the computer screen for 2 days trying to work out what I'm going to do. And I've come up with a lot of options, but haven't really found one that I'm super in love with yet. So I'm still really not sure what I'm going to be doing this week. I know that you don't have five, so you probably have a little bit more flexibility than I do. Hopefully,
We
we've helped our listeners out with the advice today.
really need Brown to get up though, the two of us, or
We
we're
do. Luke
facing
Brown.
Brown Goods Gibbs Pittard would be very, very painful and will significantly change trade plans.
It's really tricky because I'm only gonna have 24 hours to think about it. I guess with rolling lockout maybe a little bit longer because I'm really not gonna know what my options are until we see the team sheets this week. So that does make things a bit more difficult. I think leaning towards maybe a Fife out and Pittard out as well. I'm not totally sure on who comes in for those two guys. Maybe Stevie Johnson, so just so every week that he scores well, you don't have to rub it in my face.
Damn it. I really enjoy when you don't have Steve Johnson, Mark. Oh well, all the best for your trades this week, Mark. I know you got lots of thinking to do. Anyway, all the best to everybody out there. Hopefully you can make some upgrades. I know a lot of people were hoping to be able to actually do some moving and shaking this week, but with all the injuries and suspensions, hopefully you're not just dealing with all that. But nonetheless, let the team sheets be kind to us, and we'll catch you for the round six review on Sunday.
See you guys.
Jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy.